locomotive running. Head out on the highway, looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way, born to be wild. Born to be wild.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kicking off this new series, having a lot of wild fun. I encourage you, be involved. We're going to have multiple weeks of this, different aspects of motorcycle riding, different aspects of the life, and a lot of spiritual lessons. Let's pray. Lord, may your word be a lamp for our feet and a light guiding our path. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you, regardless of our circumstances, and teach us to look ahead to where you are leading us, no matter our situation. In Jesus' name, amen. So I know a lot of you have moved here or retired here from somewhere else. And there were a number of us that have spent more years in Arkansas, and then there were some that were actually born here. But I have to say that living here in Arkansas, especially in Mountain Home, man, we get to experience the beauty of God's creation. And we have this rich culture of motorcycle riding. Anybody that likes to ride motorcycles, especially if you like to go off-road, you may be aware of that the Trans-American Trail that travels across the whole United States comes right through the middle of Arkansas. And if you're not an off-road adventure kind of person, then maybe you're more for an on-road adventure. And for those, we have numerous scenic rides, including some of the best roads in America and some of the most renowned roads even in the world, including the Talamina Scenic Byway that goes through Queen Wilhelmina Park, Highway 23, which is known as the Pig Trail, Highway 7, which is also sometimes called the Wachita Trail, Highway 123, the Arkansas Dragon, and even our own Push Mountain Road. And I believe here in a few weeks, we're going to have a church motorcycle ride that's going to take us through Push Mountain Road and into Mountain View for a meal. So be paying attention to that. You're welcome to come ride with us. And if you've never ridden on a motorcycle, let me know. We'll hook you up. But if you're into motorcycle riding, I mean, we're in a haven because we have so many amazing rides to road within a short distance of us. Now, for me, I grew up riding motorcycles. And I have a love for the sport, but I've learned a lot about life through this sport and a little about God. But those lessons about God are life-changing. For example, one of the lessons you learn, as we heard with the kids when you're growing up, is to look where you're going. You probably remember your mom always telling you, watch where you're going. But whether you're walking or running or driving or riding, you must look where you're going. And when I say riding a motorcycle, and I mean riding, because we don't drive motorcycles, we ride them. Now, some countries, they say you pilot them, but around here, we say you ride. So we're calling it riding. When you're riding a motorcycle, it's critical that you look where you're going, because where you look determines how you move your body, and how your body and head, it affects how you steer your bike. In fact, as I was showing with the kids, if I look to the left, I turn my eyes to the left, but my head goes that way, my body begins to go that way. Same thing, I look to the right, my head goes that way, my body goes that way. And if I'm going straight ahead, I look ahead, I focus going forward. And my whole body works in conjunction with that to help me go where I'm going. And on a bike, it helps steer the bike in the same way. After service, I'm going to put a picture. We had a picture back in the early service. Well, we didn't get to have it there. It's going to be on Facebook. We'll have it on there of me at the Hallett Raceway on my previous bike. It was a Honda CBR sport bike, and I'm going around a curve, and the picture is of me at the apex of the curve. And when you're going around a corner, you want to look where you're going. You don't want to look at the road. You don't want to look right down in front of you. You don't want to look at yourself. You want to look where you're going. So when you're going into a corner, you're going to look at the apex and the exit of the corner. And so in this picture, it shows me on the apex of the corner. I'm leaned way over. My left knee is dragging the ground, but I'm not looking at my knee as it's on the ground. I'm not looking at my front tire. I'm looking ahead at the exit of the corner because that's where I want to go. It's a really cool picture. We'll get it up there. Go look at it because I like to be able to brag about that because I was much younger and healthier and fit then. So, but that wasn't always the case. I didn't always have that skill of being able to look through the corners and look where I was going. For example, my very first motorcycle I got when I was about 9 years old. My dad had gotten me this old Yamaha 80 dirt bike. And it was a piece of work. And a few blocks behind our house were these fields that there's massive fields, probably 6 or 7 or 8 football fields worth of fields. But then back behind that was forest, and then there were ravines all through it. And we would go back there, and we would ride for hours at a time and have so much fun. And I remember on my first day, I had that motorcycle, and we would go back there, and we had this kind of circuit that we were riding around through the fields and through the woods and through the ravines and back in a circle. And I was familiar with it because I'd ridden my BMX bicycle back there so much, so I knew what was what. But as I was riding, my confidence was growing. I started going faster and faster and faster. And one of those times, I come through the ravine. I kind of miss where I normally turn off, and so I'm going out a little bit wider, and I come up out of that ravine, and there's a tree right there in front of me. It was a big tree. Actually, it was a massive tree. And I didn't know what to do. I was locked on that tree. And somehow, I remember, I'm shaking, thinking I'm going to run in this tree. And somehow, I will myself to just slightly dodge the tree so I don't run straight into it. However, there was this branch. Yeah. And it was about my head level. And I saw that branch, and I fixated on that. And I froze. My bike didn't freeze. It kept going. And that branch smacked me right in the face. It knocked me off the back of my bike. I'm leaning flat on my back. And I'm like, oh, that hurt. Felt like I just got hit in the face with a baseball bat. And I was all right. But looking back now, that's pretty funny. I can laugh about it now. But what had happened is I had fixated on that tree. I had fixated on where I didn't want to go. And this is called target fixation. And target fixation is looking where you're going, because looking where you're going is essential to your destination. And target fixation is one of those things that you need to work on, because a lot of times what we end up doing is we end up fixating on a place or on something where we don't want to go. We fix on where we don't want to go, and then we end up in the ditch or in an accident. Now, you've heard the phrase, keep your eyes on the prize. I would say this is kind of the biblical way of target fixation. And we want to keep our eyes on Jesus. For example, when it comes to Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57, Jesus is telling a story. Well, he's actually inviting people to come and follow him. You know, he had the 12 disciples, and he was collecting another 72 disciples, and it could have been even more. But he's inviting people to come follow him. But as soon as he does, many of them begin making excuses. And you know what excuses I'm talking about. You know, those kind that just so quickly and simply and easily roll off the tongue. Oh, I'm too busy. I need to do this. I need to finish my own project first. Or let me do that, this, or let me do that before I come, Jesus. Or let me take care of this business. Or Jesus, let me go say goodbye. Let me say goodbye. Because we want to say goodbye to those things that we're leaving behind, because we feel like we're going to miss everything that we're about to give up or leave behind for Jesus. You know, just a few verses before this, Jesus says one of the toughest things I think he ever said. He says that all who want to come after me, all who want to follow me, must deny or say no to themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And then a few verses later, he responds to those that he keeps inviting who keep making excuses. They wanted to follow, but they had one excuse after another, and Jesus finally says, anyone who puts their hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for God's kingdom. In other words, once you follow Jesus, keep your eyes on him. And this is hard, because Jesus wants us to follow and not look back. He doesn't want us to regret following him. He wants us to look ahead to where we're going, knowing that where he is leading us is going to be so much better. It's going to be worth our time and our energy. It's going to be worth the reward. It's going to be worth the prize. Because for Jesus, the goal was bringing the kingdom of heaven to us all. And for us, the goal is to live into the reality of the kingdom of heaven and to share it with each other and with our neighbors and with all of creation. This means that our goal is to follow Jesus. And following Jesus means being a disciple. Following Jesus means that how we see Jesus live and how he lived and we emulate it. We see how he led a holy life and how he treated others, and we do the same. We accept people for who they are. We love them no matter what. And we share the gospel with them. We share the good news of Jesus Christ. We share God's presence with them and what God has done for us and what God can do for them. And we don't look back. We don't look at what we've given up. And we don't wish for things to go back to how they were before we met Jesus. We keep our eyes focused on Jesus. The writer of Hebrews says it like this. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Jesus endured the cross for us so that we can have his joy and run the race in front of us. Then Paul, in his letter to Timothy, said to set your heart on waiting for Jesus. Fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. And then in his first letter to Corinthians in chapter 9, he says, practice self-discipline and run the race to win it. Keep the goal in sight. And then he explains this out a little bit more in our passage today in Philippians chapter 3. But he sets this up by giving us an understanding of really who he is. He gives us a list of his credentials, of how good of a guy Paul is, of how well he's kept the law, and how faithful to his tradition he's been, and how everything he did before he met Jesus, he did it to serve and to please God. According to Paul, he was blameless in sin. He was righteous according to the law. He was the good guy. He got things right. I mean, he was the hero of his own story. But then he met Jesus. And he realized that everything that he tried to do and be on his own was worthless. It was sewer trash. Instead, he found everything he needs. He found it in Christ Jesus. His goodness, his righteousness, his worth, none of it comes from his own doing. Instead, it comes from Christ. It comes from knowing Christ and having faith in him and the power of his resurrection and suffering with Christ and then even being conformed to his death so that we may reach the goal of the resurrection of the dead. And Jesus said that he is the resurrection. He is the life. So instead of focusing on the things that he'd done or following the rules or on being a good person, he realized he needed to focus on Jesus. And that when he did that, everything else followed. This is the goal that Paul was striving for. And it's the same goal that God's unprecedented call is inviting us to join him in following Christ, to keep our eyes focused on the prize. We keep our eyes on Jesus. In Matthew 14, there's a story of early one morning. The disciples are out in a boat, and they're struggling to cross the sea because the wind and the water, it's really choppy. And as they're trying to get across the sea early that morning, Jesus is walking across the water to meet them. And when they see him, they begin to freak out. They're scared because they think he's a ghost. But Peter, who's known for shoot first and aim later, he says, "Jesus, if that's really you, call me to come out there and be with you." And so Jesus did. And Peter steps out of the boat, and he's looking at Jesus. He's focused on Jesus. And as he's looking at Jesus stepping out of the boat, he begins walking on the water too. And as he's walking on the water, getting close to Jesus, the wind and the waves, they pick up again. Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus and he looks at the water. And it's like a crash because he begins to sink down in the water. And he cries out to Jesus. And Jesus reaches down and saves him. He picks him up. He helps him back into the boat. And then he asks Peter, "Why did you doubt?" Sometimes we focus more on our problems than on the solution. And Jesus is the solution. Sometimes we stare more at the storms and at the water and at the waves than the one who walks on them. Sometimes we spend more time worrying about the devil than we do praising the one who defeated evil and the one who helps us and saves us. You know, often when I'm writing, and in that video that you may have seen on Facebook or on our website, Laura did an amazing job putting that together. So go watch it and tell her what a great job she did. But in some of those video clips, if you look carefully, you might see some deer along the side of the road. And sometimes when I'm riding, I see deer on the side of the road. Sometimes I see in the middle of the road. And you know, when you're in your car, it's kind of nerve-wracking because you know a deer is going to mess up your car. When you're on a motorcycle, that's a whole nother pucker factor. But if I spend all my time looking out through the trees in the fields for what might come out into the street, I could miss my curve that's ahead. And if I'm not looking where I'm going, I might miss the road straightening out, or I might miss it turning. And I might end up in the ditch or worse. We don't want to end up in the ditch. I don't want to end up in the ditch on my motorcycle or in life. I keep my eyes focused on Jesus. Let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Target fixate on the Lord, on our Savior, on the one who loved us so much that he gave his life so that we might have eternal and abundant life, that we might have a better life, that we might help others have a better life through him. Jesus is the one that we want to be like. So let's keep our eyes on the prize. Let's run the race so that we can win. Let's not give up, keeping our heads up and looking ahead. With our eyes focused on Jesus, we'll know that he is right there with us. That he is right there with you. And he is right there leading you forward in the way that you need to go. As the song goes, as we sing earlier, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen.